Duncan Farley, a portfolio manager on the Blue Bay Destra International Event Driven Credit Fund, is here. And oh yes, there are lots of events driving the credit markets these days. Welcome to The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. And today it's pointing us to Duncan Farley, a portfolio manager at Blue Bay Asset Management, who helps to oversee the Blue Bay Destra International Event-Driven Credit Fund. It's a closed-end interval fund with the A-shares trading under ticker symbol CEDAX, and you can learn more about it by going to destracapital.com. To learn more generally about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. Duncan Farley, welcome to The Navigator.
Yeah, great to be with you.
Duncan, event-driven credit, it is not necessarily something that people know that much about because, hey, if you were to look up the Blue Bay Destra International Event Driven Credit Fund on Morningstar.com, for example, you'd see that like there's only two or three funds in the entire investment category. So let's talk a little bit about what goes into it and also why international with event driven credit. And then we'll move forward to get more on the structure and beyond.
So look, event driven credit covers many things, but I like to simplify most things in life. And I think what essentially we're doing on the fund is we're looking for mispriced assets or mispriced risk. And hopefully as we go through the session, we'll talk about some examples that bring that to life. But we're essentially looking at events that are arising from multiple different things that we're seeing in the markets at the moment. So these can be idiosyncratic in nature. They can be economic cycles, sector stress. I think COVID, obviously, a classic example of causing a lot of stress across a lot of spaces. They can be secular changes or illiquidity in markets, all of which are combining to misprice assets and misprice risks that we're looking to take advantage of. It's the sort of good broad way of explaining what it is we're doing across multiple different strategies.
It would seem that we do have a lot of events right now because credit cycles, I mean, interest rates rising, inflation coming back. How much of the things that you're looking at are big and broad? How much are they individual to specific companies issuing credit, things along those lines? And are we particularly active right now in terms of there's a lot of events coming together at one point? Or is that just a bad assumption by somebody who reads a lot of headlines?
The great thing about this fund, to my mind, is the fact that it can rely on both sets, for example. So a lot of what we do is in the private space and very idiosyncratic. Sure, economic cycles will force more of these opportunities out, but there's always a steady flow of ideas in the private space. Obviously, the public markets are very much more dependent on general markets and general trends. We've seen a lot of losers during COVID, but we've probably seen a surprising number of winners as well through that cycle, and both offer opportunity to us at different points in time. Some that are struggling are going on the watch list for things that we'll look to get involved in at a point in time, maybe in the future. I mean, it's the classic looking for the good company with a bad balance sheet. Now, that might be now, in which case the opportunity set is there now, or it could be in the future. But as I said at the start, the fact that we have the ability to invest in private, less public situations, and I don't necessarily mean when I say private, things that aren't priced on the screen, but just not publicly listed equities or debt. Or we can look at sort of more of the public on the run, high yield bonds or loans that have become stressed or distressed for multiple regions. The fund itself has got five sort of core strategies within it, which if I went through each of them makes it sound quite complex. But essentially, we're at the one end of the spectrum. We're looking for those ideas that we would call core income, where maybe the return criteria is 10 to 15%. And at the other end of the risk, it's perhaps a full restructuring that's going on where clearly the risks are higher and we're looking for something like a 15 to 25% return.
In terms of generating those returns, which are above market levels, generally speaking, obviously interval fund structure, which curtails liquidity helps when it comes to buying private securities, holding junk bonds, etc. I would assume it's going to particularly help in frothy market conditions. If things are as back and forth and as volatile as they seem in credit markets right now, I would assume that this would be a time when the interval fund structure would shine or have the potential to really shine because everybody else is going to be facing the liquidity crunch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. About 4 years ago, when the interval fund structure was brought to our attention, because there isn't such a structure in Europe, believe it or not, even to this date, we thought, well, this is exactly what this credit space, investment opportunity space, or asset class rather, requires. Because up until this point, we had a choice. We could either go for the open-ended funds that need to be liquid, therefore they need to match their investment type with their investor base so that if the liquidity event arises, that you're able to service that. You don't want to be drawing up the gate. That's the game over for you and potentially the rest of your funds if you're doing that kind of thing. So that has its limitations in terms of the assets or the credit you can invest in. The flip side of that is obviously the more traditional longer term closed end fund, which, by the way, you know, are fantastic vehicles for investing in longer term, longer played out restructuring situations. And we'll happily manage those funds on our portfolio. But what the interval fund nicely does is it matches up the opportunity set for the investment. And if you think about the timing of those investments, so our average hold period for an investment is probably anywhere between 3 months and let's say 24 months. And that quite nicely sort of matches in the liquidity profiles that we're providing investors within the interval fund. Obviously, we're giving daily valuations, we're giving daily purchase opportunities. It's a quarterly interval redemption, quarterly distributions are paid. It generates income, albeit it's important to state that we are a total return fund strategy. Good news is a decent chunk of that total return is coming from interest payments and coupons, which obviously enable you to be able to make distributions if they're not rolled beyond obviously the capital appreciation that we're making. So there's many parts or aspects of the interval fund structure that we actually think is really very well suited to the stress special sits asset class that we're investing in. And as people in Europe start to learn about this, you know, there's a lot of chat about how we can develop similar products over this side of the ocean as well.
As you're developing these products, I mean, one of the interesting things to me as I looked through this fund is I said, wow, it's not really like much else that most people would have, which makes it a great diversifier. But out of curiosity, would you tell somebody to think of this as an alternative to stocks, bonds, other alternative investments? How would you tell somebody to think about this? It doesn't really fit into any description in my book.
I mean, we'd certainly describe it as alternative. But yeah, it's a credit fund. There's no doubt about that. And I realize a lot of investors don't have access to maybe the more alternative part of the credit market. Sure, there's multiple high yield funds out there. There are plenty of leveraged loan funds that people get involved in. But the ability to invest in the stressed and distressed part of certainly the European credit market is pretty far and few between, but for individual investors to do so. So this vehicle gives access to a market and something that's pretty different. It is international, as you mentioned. We are, the team and myself are London based, but Blue Bay does have offices around the world, including in the US. And on occasions, we will use the resource of our colleagues in the US on some of the investments and the track record on the fund is littered with US investments, but we're predominantly European focused. So we really think we're giving investors an opportunity to get into an asset class that perhaps they wouldn't otherwise be able to access in a structure that provides them with the flexibility that we think suits them and suits us.
Let's talk about a couple of events and how they've affected things. I mean, COVID, it's a financial event, but I don't think people think, oh, wow, you know, what does that do to the credit market? But talk about how that has played into your strategy.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's take a good example. There's a company called MPC Containers. It's an owner of about 70 container ships, feeder container ships. So they're the smaller ones that they might not go across the Pacific or the Atlantic, but they do a lot of the coastal work around Asia, the Caribbean, and in Europe. And now this market, along with many other parts of the container ship market, was oversupplied. Frankly, too many ships built over the last 10, 15 years ahead of the demand that was required. Now, we've been following this name through the debt for many years. We know management well. We knew the strategy. And we always thought it was a good company, but obviously it needs the market to be there to generate the sort of returns that we need. So just at the outset of COVID, companies struggling, had 100% of its fleet on spot rate, sort of sub $10,000 a day. Company needed to raise some more capital. And we just felt that the pricing of that capital, which, by the way, came at 1 knock, the shares, and today the shares are trading at 29 knocks, just for context. We just felt, look, the underlying value of the fleet was much greater than the stock and the debt price was implying. So we participated in that private placement, and we continued to buy the stock after that. Now, where did COVID come into this? Well, obviously, who would have thought that we'd all be sitting at home ordering every possible good that we could think of because we couldn't spend the money going anywhere. So as we've all seen, suddenly the supply chain started to clog up. The ships coming from the Far East were off the ports of the West Coast of the US and frankly elsewhere. And this drove sort of day rates for the ships because they're no longer so available through the roof. So today, if you want to charter one of these ships on a daily basis, then you're probably paying 70,000, 80,000 a day, 7 or 8 times more. But more importantly, this company was able to then start terming out its charters to 2-3 years at sort of 40,000 a day. So this is a COVID winner. What COVID did was essentially accelerate that demand supply imbalance. So we spotted what we thought was a mispriced asset, and we recognized an event, a credit event that was going to drive the performance of the business. I mean, hopefully that's a good example of the type of sub-investment that we undertake.
It's a great example, and I wish we had more time, but the good news is the events keep happening. So we'll just have to have you back on the Navigator sometime down the line. Duncan Farley, thanks so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And yes, that's me. You can check out my show on your favorite podcast app or at moneylifeshow.com. To learn more about interval funds, closed-end funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, Duncan Farley, Portfolio Manager at Blue Bay Asset Management, who oversees the Blue Bay Destra International Event-Driven Credit Fund. It trades under ticker symbol CEDAX, and you can learn more about it by going to DestraCapital.com and by following at Destra Capital and at Blue Bay AM on Twitter. The Navigator podcast is new every Friday. Ensure you don't miss anything by subscribing via your favorite podcast app. And until we do this again next week, happy investing, everybody.